Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shi'ur, the Gemara had introduced a new concept, and that's the concept of Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli, that when you give a person to make something for you, he, by creating that new object, it becomes his. And if it breaks, all he has to give you back is the value of the materials you gave him. Ask the Gemara tonight. We learned in our Mishnah, Nosan Umnim. If somebody gave to Umen, the Kilkalu Chayavim L'Shalom, they're going to have to pay. My love, isn't our Mishnah referring to for a situation, the Yovel Eitzim, that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the person gave this Umen wood, and now he created a tool, an instrument, a vessel out of it, and the Mishnah says that he has to pay for the entire value. But if, as we just explained, that the halacha of Umen Shvach Keli teaches us that he doesn't have to pay for the entire vessel, only for the kelim, why does the Mishnah say that you have to pay for its entirety? And it's Merloi. Our Mishnah speaking about where what was given to them, Nosan, Shedo, Teva, Migdol, that you gave them a full vessel. All you asked them was to repair it. Since all you asked them was to repair it, therefore the halacha is there's no Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli. But ask the Gemara, how could you explain that that's what the Mishnah is teaching us? Hamanitani Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Sefer, the Mishnah said, that you gave the Umen Shedo, Teva, Migdol. Isn't that clearly indication? The Reisha is speaking about a case where you gave him Eitzim. Answers. The Gemara, Amri, the way to understand the Mishnah is Perusha Kamafarish Law. The Mishnah is not speaking about two distinct cases, but rather the Sefer is explaining the Reisha. Perusha Kamafarish Law. Ketzad. Nosan, the Mishnah is saying, Nosan Umen L'Sakin V'Kilkaloi, if you gave to an Umen a keli to fix, and he ruins it, chayav l'shalem. When is that spoken? When I gave it to him, nasan l'charish, where I gave a carpenter a shaded table megdil. And says the Gemara, hachinami mistabra, that's what makes more sense. The keitzak tani, that the sefer is actually coming to explain the reisha. This akadatach, reisha, eitzim, that if we're going to say that the reisha speaks about a case where you gave him the only wood, if in the ratio the halacha is that all you gave the carpenter was eitzim, all you gave him was just wood, and the Mishnah is teaching us that if he ruins it, chayv l'shalom, he has to pay for its entirety, so certainly, and we don't apply the concept of umen koine b'shvach keli, so certainly if we don't apply it in the case where I just gave him wood, certainly when I gave him Shedet Teva Migdol, when I already gave him a full keli, we would not say the halacha of Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli. So why would it be necessary for the Sefer to teach us that case? Says the Gemara, if that's your proof, Imishem Ha, if that's what you want to rely on as a proof, says the Gemara, that's not really a compelling proof. Imishem Ha Lo Arya. Because the way to understand the Mishnah, Tana Sefer L'Gluya Reisha. The Sefer is here to help us understand the Reisha. And the way to understand the Mishnah would be a following. Loitimer, don't say Reisha. The Reisha is speaking about a Shedet Teva Migdol. Avol Eitzim. But if you gave him wood, that's not the case. Tana Sefer. That's why we have a Sefer that speaks about a case of Shedet Teva Migdol. To teach us that the Reisha is speaking about a case where you gave him Eitzim, and even though you gave him just the wood, Chayiv L'Shalim. So the Mishnah can be interpreted in more than one way, and since the Mishnah can be interpreted in more than one way, it doesn't necessarily become a proof. Of course, says the Tzais, that even though we're learning now the concept of Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli, and it becomes his, says the Tzais, that's only until the person pays for the pays. Once he pays for it, then it becomes obviously the property of the person that that gave this keli to be made. Also says the tzais, what would be the halacha? Here we're speaking about umen koine b'shvach keli, and as we've been discussing, it's speaking about situations where you ask the umen to work on, to repair or build this keli. What would be if the person is agreeable to do whatever work he's doing for free? He's doing it without payment. So then the tzai says everybody would agree that we wouldn't say umen koine b'shvach keli. But the Nesivus disagrees. Nesivus says if somebody agreed to make a keli and not get paid, part of what he's undertaking is that he's not interested that if there will be damage, he should be held responsible. So if in a case where I'm paying him, we're applying the concept of umen koine b'shvach keli, says the Nesivus, where he's not being paid, certainly we would apply the concept of umen koine b'shvach keli. Lemem sayle. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof to this concept of umen koine b'shvach keli. Lemem sayle. Hanoisen tsema l'tzava. If somebody gives wool to somebody who dyes wool, v'gdicha yore, and the wool that was in the pot in which they put the wool and the dye, and it gets overcooked, and that's why it didn't come out right. Nice in the Meit Samri. All he has to return to the owners is the value of the wool. The Meit Samri in. All you have to return is the value of the wool. The Meit Samri v'shvach eloi. But he doesn't have to pay on the fact that the wool got improved. Now, makes the point, Lav Shigdichai, isn't it referring to a situation where the wool got ruined after it absorbed the dye? Dikas Shivcha, so there was an improvement, and Shmamina, that all the woman has to pay is for the actual wool, but the improvement belongs to the woman. Why? Because it's a proof that we say woman kind of b'shach keli. Says the Gemara Amishmul, it's not a proof. Because Hachem Ayiskinen, what is the case that we're speaking about? Going shechdicha b'shas nefila. It's not like it got better and then you left it in the pot too long. And because you left it in the pot too long, it got ruined. It was ruined immediately as it went into the pot. But, says the Gemara, so what are we saying? That if higdichai lach nefila, that if it only got ruined after it was in this pot for a while, then the halacha would be that it became the property of the person who gave him the wool. And we don't say umen koine b'shvach keli, and therefore he has to return the entire value of the wool and its improvement with the color. My noisnoi demeit samurai v'shevchai. So says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, does this indicate that Le Mishmul Leslei the Rav Asi, that Shmuel doesn't agree with Rav Asi? And since, explained the Mefarshim, we know that the halacha is like Shmuel by Dinei Mamonos, so it will come out that Rav Asi holds umen koine b'shvach keli, but the Shmuel, who's the halacha, we don't. Says the Gemara Amlach Shmuel. Shmuel will say the hachem ma'iskinen to tzemer v'samana de balabayis. What happened here was that the owner of the wool didn't just give the wool; he also was the one that provided the dye. The tzemer v'samanim the balabayis, the tzaba, all you're paying to the person who's dying is agayadu the shakel. He's only collecting his salary for whatever he's doing. And if that's the case, then there's no umen koine b'shvach keli, because he didn't provide any material. And that's why the umen would have to pay for the entire material. Ihachi. Says the Gemara, nice and light, so that's the way we're explaining, and we're explaining now that the umen has to pay for both. So why did the Mishnah say nice and tamroi? He should have said nice and tamroi with samri saman and bale. He has to pay for the value of the wool and the value of the dial. El Shmuel, says the Gemara, all Shmuel meant to say was that the chuyu kamatchale. you want to bring a raya from the Mishnah to the opinion of Asi, the Mishnah is not a raya, but doesn't mean they necessarily argues. Says the Gemara, Toshma. So the Gemara is still focused on this concept of Uman Kaina the Shvach Keli. Toshma. Hanoisan Talar Sala Uman. If somebody gave his garment to a tailor to fix, Gomrai Vahidiya, and the tailor notified him that it's finished, Afila Mekan Tzara Yomim, even if the person doesn't come to pick it up for 10 days, Ain Allah Mishum Lay Solom. We know there's a serious Isser in the Torah that if somebody worked for you, you have to pay him, unless you made up differently when you hired him, you have to pay him immediately. And there's a Lav Lay Solom. That means if he worked for you by day, you have to pay him before the day is up. He worked for you by night, you have to pay him before the night is over. Here, the Mishnah is teaching us, the Bryce is teaching us, that if he gave it to you and he says that it's ready and you didn't pick it up even for 10 days, you're not over lay sullen. However, if he wants the tailor gives you back the garment in the middle of the day. So as we just said, right, before the day is up, you have to pay for that garment. So the halacha is, kimi sheshakal afchama, once the sun comes down and you haven't paid, oivim mishum bal talin. Why is there no bal talin? Because since the tailor is holding on to your garment, it's considered like he's holding on to a mashkin for what you owe him. And the Rishonim explain, some Rishonim explain, that if there's a mashkin being held, there's no Isser Baal Tolin. The other Rishonim, the Meiri, says that if, a few points the Meiri makes, he says the fact that he's not demanding that you come to pick up your garment is a proof that there's no Baal Tolin. What happens if the, according to the Meiri, if he says it's ready, come and pick it up? It seems that the Meiri would seem to say that there would be Baal Talin. But the simplest way to understand the Gemara is the way the Tzoyis explains the Gemara. And the Tzoyis explanation is that until you pick it up, the obligation, the job isn't done. That means the Tzoyis is saying that a job is not considered completed until you pick it up. And since I haven't yet picked it up, there's no problem about Tolan. V'salkadatach. But ask the Gemara, if we're going to apply the concept that Ravasi is teaching us, the concept of Uman Koina B'Shvach Keli, Amai Ovim Shabbat Tolan. Why is there any consideration about Tolan? Batolin is when, as we explained, when somebody works for you and you owe him wages. Here, he didn't work for me. I don't owe him any wages. So there shouldn't be Batolin. He made this Keli. He owns the Keli, and I have to pay for it. Amara Mari Bered of Kana, we're speaking about here is Begard de Sarbala. I hired the worker to comb out the wool, the Lekka Shivcha, that there's no shvach. And a case when there's no shvach, there's no concept of umen koin b'shvach keli. And Rashi Masechta Bava Metzi explains, why is there no shvach? Because even if the purpose of combing it out is to soften the wool. And Rashi says, it would have gotten soft even without this combing. But ask the Gemara, Saif, as we just explained, Lama Yavinale, what was the purpose of giving the tailor this wool? L'rachuche, to soften it up. So ask the Gemara, even if Rashi is right, Rashi is certainly right, but even if it would have gotten softened up ultimately, but you, the tailor, softened it up earlier, so kivin derachche, the moment you soften it up, hayne shvicha. And if you say umen kaina b'shvach keli, there should be no consideration of bal talin. Says the Gemara, leitzricha da'agri lepiche, that you asked them, they used to stamp on the garments before they washed it, and that's what you hide him. What you hide him was bitcha bitcha b'masa. For every time he stamps on the garment, he gets paid a more. Dinas chiris. So it's considered a worker for you, and there is no umin kaina b'shvach keli. So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that the first time he stamps in it, it doesn't really accomplish much. So there's no shvach in those stamping. Only maybe in the later stampings does it make the garment better. But he's getting paid per stamp. Since he's getting paid per stamp, it changes everything. It says the Gemara. So now the Gemara has successfully explained this b'raisa. But says the Gemara, according to our original understanding, the loy agre lebitche, that wasn't the purpose of him being hired. Mesaile l'Rav Sheshes, we could bring a raya to hear something Rav Sheshes talked about. The boyman of Sheshes, kablonis. If somebody was hired to do a job at kablonis, and the definition of kablonis is that he was hired to finish the job. And he finished the job and you didn't pay him as the baltolin. Rav Sheshes said over, because that's the case here where he was given a job, and if you don't, and when he finishes, you have to pay him. Says the Gemara, but the Gemara wants to say, lame with Rav Sheshes pliga dravasi. Should we say that Rav Sheshes who holds that here there is a concept about Tolan, Rav Sheshes obviously is disagreeing with Ravasi, because if Rav Sheshes were to agree with Ravasi, so we come back to what we said. There's a concept of umen koina b'shvach keli. And if there's a concept of umen koina b'shvach keli, then the person who's working on it is never a worker. He's not a socher, and there shouldn't be any baltolin under any circumstances. Rav Sheshes is clearly teaching us that under certain circumstances there will be baltolin. Amar Shmuel bar Acha says Rav Shmuel bar Acha, what he meant to say was, when did Rav Sheshes say there's baltolin? B'shlicha da agrita, when you ask somebody to deliver something to someone else. So there's no shvach keli. When I ask somebody to deliver something, there's no improvement. It's just asking to deliver. There, everybody agrees, and he'll get paid when the job is done. When it gets delivered, that's where we say that everybody who agrees there's baltolin and there's no umen koina b'shvach keli. So suggest the Gemara, this concept that we've been discussing throughout our shir of umen koina b'shvach keli, suggest the Gemara, perhaps lemeka tanoi is the subject of a machloikus tanoim, where somebody, a woman, gives gold to a jeweler and says to him, "Aseli shirayim, make for me a type of bracelet, nizamim, nose earrings, nizamim, nose rings, tabas rings, for kadishloch. And instead of paying you, I'll become married to you." Kivin shason. So says the Gemara. Says the Braisa, Kivin Sha'asan, as soon as he finishes the job, Mukadeshus Divirame, according to Ramei, she becomes Mukadeshus. The Chamamim, whereas opinion of Cham is, Ein Mukadeshus Achi Yigir Mamun LeYoda. So first, the Gemara wants to understand, what does this mean when it says, Achi Yigir Mamun LeYoda, my Mamun, Ilema Oysam Mamun, that the money that she gave, the gold that she gave to him, that now he formed into jewelry, he gives it to her. Mechlal, says the Gemara, that means that you're saying that Rameis of Oysumam and Loi, that giving back, he didn't give back the jewelry. Says the Gemara, a kedushin by definition means that the husband is giving something to the wife. If he's not giving her anything according to this interpretation, but my Makacha, how do we have a kedusha? Ela Pshita, says the Gemara, what was mamon, mamon acher, that he has to give her, different money. Says, so there's a very interesting psak that I saw. There's a very famous question. We all have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. The question is, if somebody, which is common the case, because Sefer Torah are so very expensive, if somebody doesn't have the ability to pay for Sefer Torah, so he pays with other people. Is he mekayim the mitzvah? Is it considered that he did it? So here we see that one person is making the jewelry and one person gave the gold, and it's still considered that the person who did just part of it has done an act of kedushin under the circumstances that we're going to learn. But before we go further in our shir, the Gemara now will focus on a concept which we also discussed in Masechtas Kedushin, and that is when somebody hires a worker, there's a machloikas, do we say, yesh nal l'schiris metchil v'atzoif, my obligation to him begins from when he begins working, and for every shava pruta of work that he has done for me, I owe it to him. Not that I have to pay it, but I owe him for every shava pruta that he does, and that becomes a halva, that becomes a loan, pruta by pruta, or there's endless schiris el psoif. When I hired somebody to do something on my behalf, I'm not obligated to pay until the job is done. So that's the machloikus of yesh nal l'schiris metchila v'atzoif, or ein l'schiris ela besoif, says the Gemara, Savrua. So in understanding the machloikus that we just discussed, says the Gemara, the Kula Alma, everybody's of the opinion, yesh nal l'schiris metchila v'atzoif. When somebody does something for me, every pruta of work he does, I owe him for that pruta. It's important to point out that Tosfos says it's not to mean that every time he does a pruta of work, I have to come immediately run and give him a pruta. It just, how is it accrued? V'kul Amma, furthermore, says the Gemara, everybody's of the opinion, I'm a kaddish b'milva and a kaddishes, that somebody does a kedushin with a loan, it's not a kedushin. And as we learned in Masechta Kedushin, why? Because we learn Kedushin, as we discussed extensively at the beginning of Masechta Kedushin, from when they bought a property from Ephraim. When a property was bought from Ephraim, what happened there was that the actual money for the property was given. Here too, when a man is Mekadosh an Isha, when a man is Mekadosh a wife, he has to give her something. But a halva alone is not something that is given. I didn't give her anything. And as I saw the Achroinim explain, that even though there is a concept of mechilas halva, if a woman says to a man, well, you're forgiving me what I owe you, that's really something valuable and has a value, that's not the way people normally think about when they think about halva. They think about the fact that you lent me money, that's what I'm being mekadosh you with, and that is not an existent. And therefore, as we learned in Masechta Kedushin, everybody's in agreement mekadosh with milva and mekadoshes. And what is the machloikus here? My love, umen kaina b'shvach keli. If somebody works with the woman's gold, the jeweler who works with the woman's gold and made it into a piece of jewelry, does it become his or not? So, and the Gemara is saying, the Remeis, so the Remeis' opinion is, Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli. And therefore, it became his, and now he gives it to her, he did a perfect act of Kedushin. Rabbanan Savri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Ein Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli. And therefore, there's nothing with which the Kedushin is to take place. So why would we say Ein Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli? Because even if, number one, some explain, because the Umen that works with somebody else's material doesn't really have intention to become the owner of that material. And also, since the raw material wasn't necessarily his, that's why he doesn't think he becomes the owner. Says the Gemara, now the Gemara is suggesting that what we've been discussing here about Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli is actually Machlokes Tanoim, says Barloi, the Kula Amma, everybody could hold Ein Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli. Elohacha, the question is how to look, as we mentioned a few moments ago, at a worker and the money I owe a worker for the work he did for me. The Kula Amma Ein Umen Koyne B'Shvach Keli. Elohacha, B'Yesh L'Schiris B'Tchil V'Atzoif Kamafgi. The question is, how do I how is the obligation to pay viewed? So when the job is done, that's when I owe for the job done. And since when the job is done, that's why I owe for the job. And then that money, the fact that I don't have to pay for it, that's the kedushin. Every pruta becomes a halva. Since every pruta becomes halva, so this is a case of mekadesh b'milva that are ainam mekudeshes. Rabbanan savri yesh l'schiras mitchil v'atzayif. V'ibay seima the kulama yesh l'schiras mitchil v'atzayif. V'hacha, and actually they're suggesting that that's the subject of the machlokes. Hamekadesh b'milva kamufki. There may be sava mekadesh b'milva mekudeshes, and therefore even though this is a milva, because every pruta became a milva, it's mekudeshes. For Rabbanan savri hamekadesh b'milva ainam mekudeshes. That's actually the subject. Rav Amar, Rav has a different way of explaining the machloikus of Ramei and the Chachamim. Rav says the kulama yesh l'schiras metchil v'asayif, and therefore this becomes a milva. Furthermore, Rav says udu kula alma mekaz milva ainu mekadeshes, and furthermore ain omen kain of shvach keli. So it's not the jeweler's keli that he could use for kedushin. Elochem ma'iskinen. How do we understand this brisa? Kigon shahosuf lo. That the jeweler added one more stone, an extra stone from his own. Ramei says there's two parts of the piece of jewelry that is now being given to the woman. There's the part which is a milva for the work that he did, and there's the prut. There's also that stone. So Ramei's opinion is that milva pruta. Data pruta, she's thinking about the pruta, and therefore it's a valid kedushin. Rabbanan savri malva, you have all this gold, an expensive piece of jewelry, even though there's a little stone there. Data milva, and a mekadesh b'milva, eina mekadeshes. And says the Gemara, this is a machloikus we find elsewhere. Vepilukta dehani tanoi, the Tanya. B'shasha sisi imach, if somebody says to a woman, you'll be kedushas for me that for the job that I've done for you. Enim kedushas. She owes him for that job done, but that's a milva. Hamakash be milva, enim kedushas. The schar she'esimach. But if somebody says to the woman that the job that I will do for you, mekedushas. Rav Nosson Oimer, the schar she'esimach, enim kedushas. Even that case is not going to be kedushin. Koskein, and certainly b'schasha sisimach for what you owe me. Rav Yehuda Anasi Omer, b'emes amru, b'em b'schasha sisimach, b'em b'schar she'asimach, in both cases, enim kedeshes. However, he adds one more point, which is what we're discussing. However, v'em ha'isav lo noifach mishaloi, if he added one stone, then mekedeshes. Says the Gemara, now let's understand the double machlokes here, and explains the Gemara. Beitana kamar Yehuda, ikimenai schiris. The machlokes is how do we view schiris? Do we say yeshnu l'schiris mitchil l'vatzoyf, or do we say ein l'schiris el l'psoyf? If we say yeshnu l'schiris mitchil l'vatzoyf, so this is a case of a milva, because of a milva ain't mekadeshes. If we say ein l'schiris el l'psoyf, then it's not a milva. And Ben Rav Yehuda Anasi is the question that we just discussed, and that is Ikavanayu b'milva pruta, that there was a milva, but there's extra pruta. What does the woman have in mind? Does she have in mind the milva or the pruta? The milva would not be a kedushin. The pruta would be a kedushin. Says the Gemara Amar Shmuel Tabach Umen Shekalkel. If somebody gives an animal to a shoychet, and he didn't do the shechita properly, the animal became an avela. The halacha is chayv l'shalom. This person who did this is going to be held responsible because, says Shmuel, this is an example of a mazik. And it's a pesheya. V'nasa amaloi, it's the way the halacha looks at this is it's considered as if I gave you instructions shloit l'mikan. I gave instructions to be done in one way, v'shachle mekan, and it was done in another way. And of course, points out Rashi that if he was a person who wasn't an Uman, then he would certainly, then the person would certainly be held responsible. Why did you take on a job that you're not capable of doing? Asked the Ramban, but most of the disqualifications, which we're going to be discussing, that would disqualify a shechita are not noticeable. Shia means that somebody delayed in the middle of the shechita. That's a hezek shen nikar, and we've learned so many times that a hezek shen nikar lo yishmei hezek. So says the Ramban, when we say hezek shen nikar is when we look at the result, is it hezek nikar, is it noticeable or not? He says when the shechita wasn't done properly, when we have a dead animal, we certainly have an act of, this way I understand the Ramban. When we have a dead animal, there certainly was a hezek. Just what? If it was done properly, it was done with a proper shechita, so then it's not an act of hezek. In other words, the act of shechita is an act of hezek. It's only not a hezek if it has a positive outcome. If it doesn't have a positive outcome, then it's not a, then it's an act of hezek. But then I saw that Rav Reuven Ben Gezatzal, the Rav of Yerushalayim, asks that Shmuel's opinion throughout Shas is ein holcha b'mamon acharoiv. So here, and therefore, the halach ein holcha b'mamon acharoiv. Even a small chance is considered when we speak about dating mamonis. So the question is, every time an animal is slaughtered, Mar Masechta Chulin discusses extensively, maybe the animal's a treifa, and we can't eat it. The answer is, most animals are not treif. But that's when we're speaking about issa v'heter. But here we're speaking about mamon. So why should we not be concerned that the animal was a treif? So what the shaykh did didn't make a difference. Says Rav Reuven Bengis, halacha l'maisa, if somebody would have shechted this animal properly, would you be allowed to eat it? The answer is yes. Once, and now when he didn't shecht it properly, you caused that he should not be allowed to eat it. So you did an act of mazik, as the Gemara just said, and that's why the shaykhid is chayif. So ask the Gemara, when Shmuel made his statement, ask the Gemara, lama l'lameima mazaku pesheu. What was the point in Shmuel expressing himself that this person is a mazik, that this person is a pesheya? Answers the Gemara, I am a mazik. If he would have just said he's a mazik, then have a mina, that this is maybe considered like an oinus. And hanimili, but other a mazik is chayiv, even if he did it be oinus, to teach us the hanimili hekid the covered beschar. He got paid. And therefore, he's a mazik, and he's chayiv even for an oinus. Aval hecha the covered bechinam, we didn't get paid. Loi, he should not be held responsible. Kamash malon, that if he did it even for out pay, but he's no worse than a shemachinam. And a shemachinam that is a pesheya will a shemachinam will be responsible for a pshia. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Taisha seems to explain that if he did it for free, is that even though we have a rule, Adam Mu'ud La'ilam, but we also have a rule that Oinus Gomer is Potter. But the Gemara is saying here, this is not considered an Oinus Gomer because he should have done it right. And if he did it for free, he's a Pesheya. Esfei asked the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us a nice mamel tabak. If somebody gives an animal to a shoychet, the nibla and it became an avela, if the person whom you gave it to was an uman, was an expert, and it's important to point out what the Miri says. An expert doesn't mean that you're a talmud chacham and know all the halacha. The Miri says the definition of an uman is that you know how to shech properly. Then you're potter. If he was a hedyet, but he's not a shoychet, chayiv. From noisen schar, if you paid, bein hedyet, bein uman, you chayiv. So we see in this braisa that if a shoychet who's an expert did not get paid for shechting, and then the animal became an avela, you're potter. But Shmuel said that even a uman who didn't get paid is chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Shmuel said to Rav Chuma Bar Gurya, L'ava Meicha. You don't have a brain. So of course, the Rishonim and Achronim tried to understand that how did Shmuel express himself this way. So the Pasha Pshat is, Shmuel was saying, you don't understand what I'm saying. Had you understood what I'm saying, you would never ask this question. The Yavit says, it's still difficult to understand, the Yavit says. Why is he speaking in such a manner? So that's what the Yavit says, is that what he was telling him was, concentrate and you'll understand. The Chazon Ish explains that the reason Shmuel used this language is because that Shmuel was offended. As we often discuss in our shiurim, there is an expectation that all Amoraim should know all the brises. And since there's an expectation that all the Amoraim should know the brises, Shmuel was expecting that this person should not ask this question and quote the entire brisa as if Shmuel knew the brisa, as Shmuel did not know the brisa. And that's why Shmuel had a right to be upset. Also, Huma Rabbanan, says the Gemara, there was one of the Talmidim, Kamois of Law, asked the question, Amalei, Hashtish Kaltma de Shakal Chavkra. You're going to take the same response as your colleague did. Kaminaloch Anok Rameya. I hold like Rameya, and you're asking from a brisa that represents the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Gemara explains, Shmuel says to them, you should have paid attention to what I said. I said, Mazaku Pishayahu. And what did I say? Vanasa, when somebody shechs the animal improperly, it's as the halacha looks at it as if I gave one set of instructions. V'shochle mikan, and he ignored my instruction. My islei ha'svara. Who follows that opinion? Rameya, the Amar, Mibayle Lemirma of Nafshe. Rameya has taught us, and the Gemara is now going to show us where he's taught it to us. Rameya has taught us in this Masechta that we are obligated to pay attention to what we do. Ask the Gemara, hi Rameya, where has Rameya taught it to us? Ilema ha Rameya, where we learn from Rameya, and the Gemara says Kolon, which is a simon for the places that the Gemara is going to attempt to show that Rameya's opinion is that a person is responsible. The Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Amabez. Kashra ba'alav m'maseira. If the owner of an axe tied the axe with a rope, the null b'fanav k'roi, and then he closed the door properly, the yotz v'hizik, and then the animal went out and did damage, bein tam be'mud chayiv de Rameya. What does Rameya say that he's chayiv? Because you have to pay attention to what you're doing. And here too, Rameya is saying that the Shaykhid should have paid attention. And if he didn't pay attention, he's going to be held responsible. It says the Gemara, we learned over there, Hassam, that the basis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya's opinion is to what level you have to be paying attention is based on a pasuk that speaks about your obligation of watching your animal. It has nothing to do with what we're speaking about here. It says the Gemara, Haramei, the Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, we're going to learn in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Amud Beis, where wool was given to somebody to die, and he was given instruction, Tzavei Adam, the Tzavei Shachar. He asked him to make color it red, and he did black, or vice versa, Shachar, Tzavei Adam. Rameyam, and Nais made Samrai. He asked to pay for the entire value, because he didn't do what he was told. Says the Gemara, that isn't a good proof, because he there he did exactly the opposite of what he was told. He was told red, he did black. Here, the Shaykhit wanted a Shech properly, just he didn't do the job right. Says the Gemara HaRameya. It goes back to Tanya. We learned Rameya taught us. Nishbar Kadoi. If somebody was walking with a pitch in the Rishus Rabbim and it fell and broke, V'loi Silka, and he didn't pick up the pieces, and because of that, people tripped on those pieces. Or, Nafal Gamloi, somebody's camel fell in the Rosh Hashanah, V'loi Hamida, and he didn't pick up, Rameyayim Echai Beniskan, he is Chayiv for the damages. V'cham Amrim, Pot Medina Adam Echai Beniskan Shemayim. Bezdin won't get involved. What is the machloikus? So we learned that the machloikus is over the subject of benisko peshehu peligi. The question is, if somebody drops something in the shus rabim, is he considered a pesheya by dropping it? Chum hold, he's not a pesheya, because people sometimes accidentally drop things. Rab Meir is much stricter. He says a person should be paying attention. Paying attention means that you should be careful not to drop something. And if you drop something, you shall be held responsible. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba b'bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tabach Umen, and that's Rameyer here too, says Shmuel. The Shoichet should be careful to make sure that the animal doesn't become a Nevela. And if you're not, you shall be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba b'bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tabach Umen shekilkul chayiv, Vafilu Umen, even if he's a great expert, Kitapuchet Sipure, as the butchers in Sipure who are real experts in Shechita. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, Vamar Rabba Babachana, Uv the Havakamed Rabbi Yochanan. There was a situation with Rabbi Yochanan, the Knishta de Ma'oim, in the shul in the city of Ma'oim, where a Shechit did not Shecht properly. Amalei, said Rabbi Yochanan, to this Shoichet Zil Aisi Rayas, the Mamchus Lutar Negoilim, prove to me that you are an expert in shechting chickens. And the way the Meiri explains the Gemara, that shechting chickens apparently was the most difficult type of shechita. And if you could prove that you're an expert, Zil Aisi Rayas, the Mamchus Lutarcha, Vaftarcha. And I won't make you held, and I will not hold you responsible. So we see that if somebody is an expert, even though something happened that caused that the animal should be an avela, the halacha is that you're not going to be held responsible. Why are we saying over here that you are going to be held responsible? So the Ravid asks, why should he have to prove that he's an expert? Isn't there a raya? Isn't there a rule of hamotzi mechaver olav araya? So the person whose chicken became an avela, he's the one should prove that he did wrong. Says the Ravid, that a shoichet who makes an animal into an avela is like a shomer who is a pesheya. And just like the halacha is that if a shomer is accused of being a pesheya, the halacha requires that he prove shaloi shalach yodim melechus reyu, that becomes the obligation here of the shoichet. And says the Rebbe Chanan, we see that he's not just treated as an odim hamazik, he's treated as a shomer, and the halachas of a shomer kick in. Another pshat that I saw is that this, and Rebbe Chaim Shmulevitz says this teretz, he says here he did an act of mazik b'yadayim. We know that he made this chicken, this animal, into a nevela. When we know that he did this, then we have he has a much higher level of responsibility to prove his innocence. The Shach says that even though there's a rule, roiv mitzuyin etzel shchita, most people do shchita mumch mehein, here it's not going to be good enough. Why? So Rekiva Eger explains what the Shach means to say. Yes, normally, when somebody goes to shecht an animal, there's a rule of roiv mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchein. Most people do shchita or mumchen. But that contention has been weakened here. How has it been weakened? Because we see that he made the chicken into an avela. So asks Rabbi Kiv Eger, if that's the case, will the halacha be that as soon as a shoichet makes an avela once, he loses that position, that roiv shoichetim mumchum heim? Says the Prima Godim, that's not what Rabbi Kiv Eger means. Just because he made an animal, a chicken, an avela once, he doesn't lose his position. He doesn't lose what we say, roiv b'tzuyin etzel shchita mumchum heim. What he means to say is that now we'll say ein hochma mamon acharoiv, and since ein hochma mamon acharoiv, he has to prove He has to prove that he did not do anything wrong. But I saw that the Ogre said that even though there's a rule that Roy Mitzuin Eitzel Shchit the Mumchum Hain, that doesn't mean we follow that rule blindly. And therefore, we can't rely on that rule L'chatchila. The Shilta Gebayrim says that there's a difference in Halacha when we speak about Dine Mominus or we speak about Issa V'Heter. For Issa V'Heter, says the Shilta Gebayrim, we could rely on the concept of Roy Mitzuin Eitzel Shchita Mumchum Hain. But here, we're not speaking about Issa V'Heter. Here we're speaking about Dine Mominus. Dine Mominus has their own set of rules. But here we have a question. Rabbi Yochanan said that if he's an expert and he could prove it, he won't be held responsible. And Shmuel's been saying that he will be responsible. Like Kasha. Kam b'chinam. Here we're talking about a shaykhur who wasn't getting paid. Kam b'schar. And here we're talking about where he was getting paid. Kihad da omer Rav Zeira. Haroitzish schayv loy tabach. If you want that your shaykhur should be held responsible if the animal, the chicken, become the vela, Yagdim Oytina, to pay him. Ask the Gemara. So now we're learning that if he's not getting paid and he's a mumcha, he shall not be held responsible. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Meisvei, Hamoylech Chitim Litchon. Somebody is taking wheat to have it ground. V'loy Losason, and he did not properly soak them, vos and subin. And therefore, when they were ground, they came out as bran. They didn't come out right. Or, vos and subin immersum. Kemach lenachtan. He gave flour to a baker, vos and pas nefoilim. And the bread came out, it fell apart. Behemel tabach, or you bring our Gemara, a behemel to a shaykh, a nibla, chayiv. And they should notice the seicher that it seems that he isn't actually a nice seicher. The halacha is treating him like a nice seicher. So we see that even though he's not getting paid, he's going to be responsible. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to learn. Ema of nation nice seicher. The way to understand is that he was getting paid. So since he was getting paid, that's as we say he's going to be held responsible. So one of the ways that a shechita becomes disqualified is hagroma. Hagroma is that you don't shecht, we know that the shechita means you have to shecht the kana and veshit, and what happened here is that he shechted it on a slant. And the machlokes tanoim, what makes a hagroma? According to the chachamim, hagroma is that you have to shecht within the pipe. And even if part of it was outside, it's possible. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that as long as most of it was slaughtered properly, it's okay. Says the Gemara, Uma grosso dosla kameh de Rav, there was animal that was slaughtered as a hagroma. The question was coming to Rav, v'tarfei, and but, upatri l'tabach mishlum edame. Even though Rav Tarfin said the animal is not kosher, he said the sheikh doesn't have to pay. Says the Gemara, The two piskei halachas seem to contradict each other. And I asked the Gemara, what was meant with that statement? My tarti, what was meant with that statement? Ilema tarti legriusa. Two decisions that are wrong. The one is that we pass like Rav Yosef Yehuda, and even if it's mainly not a grum, it should be kosher. And he passed like Rabbanon, that even if it's a partial grum, it's possible. Vinamik Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon say that if somebody says the animal is not kosher, so then the shechet should have to pay. Says the Gemara, how could somebody have done this? Or me sharil memekai gavna, v'tanya doesn't the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, that chav tes omen aleph teach us, l'chishyetze, when a dayan leaves the Sanhedrin, there was a vote, and he says, he should tell the person who was convicted, I really held you were innocent. Everybody else held you were guilty. Regarding this, it says, so how was he allowed to do so? Ella, what they said to him was, what Rav Kahana Rav Asi said to the person who owned the animal, Rav did to you two positive things. Everything he did was the right thing. He didn't let you eat this animal because it may be not kosher, and he prevented you from eating something which is not kosher. On the other hand, if he would make the shoychet pay, and the shoychet doesn't have to pay, because if the shechita was really a good shechita, then of course the shoychet doesn't have to pay. And if you make the shoychet pay, you would be causing a situation with of gzela, taking money that doesn't belong to you. So what Rav did was very calculated and proper.